We are on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and yesterday we left off with two versions of the Shaila. Right? There was a Machloikas, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur learned that the Parsha of Machzik Rishasai is dealing only with Machzik Rishasai, and even though it used the word Achrei HaShahutama, it was used for Machzik Rishasai, and the Torah gave Machzik Rishasai an aspect of Tumah. The Rabbanon learned that Achrei HaShahutama is going on a lav of Saita, is not a woman that was mezana under her husband, it has zero to do with Machzik Rishasai, that part of the pasuk, or Pashim Shat, at least the way we're darshaning it, has nothing to do with Machzik Rishasai. So we had a Shaila. The Shaila was, Reuven divorced a woman, she got married to somebody else, she got either divorced or widowed from the second husband, and Reuven remarried her, illegally, in sin. But the bottom line is, he's married to her, it's a valid marriage. And then Reuven dies without children. So the question becomes, in the way Rashi learns, for sure, one of Reuven's wives needs chalitza. Either the one he took back illegally, or the one, or her co-wife. That's for sure. But the question is, according to the Rabbanon, according to the first version, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, since the Torah said the word tumma by Machzik Rishasai, so Tumah tells us that just like Arias infect the co-wife, so by Machzik Rishasai she would also infect the co-wife, but not to the same degree as Tumah, as we say by Arias, or that Rav said by Tzara Saita, but it would be an infection only from Yibum. An interesting concept. Again, Taisus argues on this, but Rashi and other Rishonim learn that Machzik Rishasai, even according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, that the Torah used the word Tumah, it's only an infection vis-a-vis Yibum, not Chalitza, because it's only a Chai Ve'lavim, and therefore there is a mitzvah of Chalitza. The question becomes, so according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, the fact that the Torah said the word Tumah means that the Tzara is infected as well, no Yibum by the Tzara. According to the Rabbanon, who say Achrei HaShahutama is not referring to Machzik Rishasai, it's referring to Saita. So the question is, how about by Machzik Rishasai? Can the person do Yibum to the Tzara, or only Chalitza? And the reason he would only be able to do Chalitza is because since it's written in the Parsha Machzik Rishasai, it's like the Torah alluding that some aspect of the Tumah applies here, enough so that the Tzara shouldn't have Yibum. That was version one of the Shaila. Version two of the Shaila was that the acquainted Rabbanon, there's no Shaila. The Pasuk is not talking about Machzik Rishasai. It's not talking about Machzik Rishasai, so there's no reason to think that Machzik Rishasai does anything to hurt Tzara. There's no infection whatsoever. According to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, the Torah did write Achrei HaShahutama, but the Torah also wrote the word he. And he says only her, and excludes everyone else. But Tumah seems to say it's like Tumah that infects other people. So the question is, how do you balance it out? Do we say Tumah's for her only, and it doesn't infect the Tzara? Or do we say it does infect the Tzara, and there's no Yibum? That was the second version of the Shaila. So we are up to now, on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we are up to, if you go across, you see Taisus Amarle, go across to the Gemara and move up three lines to the word Amarle. So he told them, Amarle, this was a Shaila that Rabbi Yehuda asked of Sheshes. Now Rashi learns that this Amarle is a proof to the second version of the Shaila. Amarle. So Rabbi Sheshes answered him, Amarle, so Rabbi Sheshes answered him, Tenisua. It is a Beferisha Brisa, I believe. It's a Beferisha Brisa. I don't know if it's a Mishnah or a Braisa, I'm not sure. If one of the women falling the Yibum was kosher, and one was pasul that she has a psul in her, and we'll find out what that means. There's something pasul about her. So my chaylitz the psula. If you're going to do chalitza, do it to the woman that has a psul anyway. Miyabim l'ksheira. If you do yibum to the one that doesn't have any psul. Now, my ksheira or my psula, what does it mean? She has, one is kosher and one is not kosher. What does that mean? who is she kasher for? Who is she pasul for? What are we talking about when we use the word kshera and psula? So you lay mekshera, kshera la'alma, psula, psula la'alma. If you're going to say that one is, let's say, a regular woman, nothing wrong with her, she's a widow, obviously, and the other one happens to be a divorcee from a previous marriage, and she's pasul to kahuna, right? So you have two women that fell. Reuven died and he had two wives. One was a regular woman that was an amana. She would be able to marry a kayan. And the other one was a grusha previously. And she's psula to kahuna. Kibin the day chazal, he's allowed to marry either one of the two. He's a Yisrael. My nafkalimina. So why should he say du chalitza to one? If he wants to do chalitza, he should do it to the grusha. And if he wants to do yibam, he should do it to the non-grusha. He can marry either of the two or do chalitza to either of the two. He has no restriction to anyone. He's a Yisrael. This brother died and left over two wives. One is a widow and one is also a grusha from before. So the Braisa seems to be suggesting that he do chalitza to the grusha and do yibam to the non-grusha. Why? He can marry either one of the two or do chalitza to either one of the two. Why are we suggesting this? Elalav, the only reason we would make a suggestion is kshera kshera lei, psula psula lei. One is kosher to him, and one is pasul to him, right? One is pasul to him. So, what are we saying? Umay nihu, what would be the case of a woman that is pasul to him, right? And it's kosher for everybody else, that's how the Gemara understands it now, that she's not pasul to anybody else, but she's pasul to him. So my niu machzik grushasai. That what happened was that it's machzik grushasai, right? And the Braisa is saying that if the brother died and had left over one woman that's kosher that's kosher to the yavam, right? No, and the other one is puzzled to the yavam because she is a machzik grushasai, right? And it says tuma, achareyach hutama, which infects her from yibum, right? Infects her from yibum, but still it says, v'mhoi miyabim miyabim l'kshera. Still it says, he does yibum to the other one. That means he does not infect her tzara. Again, Rashi's learning this is going like Abyeisi ben Kippur. And according to Abyeisi ben Kippur, there is an infection to the tzara herself, right, of tuma, right? And she cannot have Yibum. And the Braisa is suggesting, if you do Chalitza, you can do it to any one of the two. If you do Yibum, you can do it only to the non-Machzik Grushasai, which means it's saying that you could do Yibum to the non-Machzik Grushasai, to the co-wife, which means there is no infection passed on. This, again, according to Rashi, is going according to the second Lashon, that the Braisa is going, Rabbi Yaisi Ben Kippur, that there is a Tumah on the Machzik Grushasai. Right. It's a tumah of the machzik grushasai, and the Braisa is saying you could be miyabim the other wife. It's a raya that the infection of machzik grushasai does not pass on to the tzara. Rashi, Zok Rashi, Haysa achas ksheira, mi shenaflu levon of shtei yevamis meyach echad. Two yevamis fell from one brother. Viyasoi chalitzasa shel achad mehem, the bia or the chalitza of one of them. Right. Poiteres tzarasa. So ha'isa achas ksheira v'achas psula. It could be, I don't know if it's a brayza or a mishnah. Ksheira la'alma miyucheses uksheira lakuna. One is ksheira la'alma means she's a lady that's kosher to kahuna. And the other one is psula la'alma. She's a grusha chalutza mibalachar. She had either been divorced previously or had received chalitza from a different husband. Psula lakuna. Even to the day chazit who Yisrael, he can marry either of the two. He has no restrictions. My nafkali mina, hide the boy lachlitz. He can give chalitza to anyone. We boy liyabim, hide the boy liyabim. Why should he say? We should say, do yibim to one and do chalitza to the other. If you want to do chalitza, pick one. If you want to do yibim, pick the other. Why? He's the Yisrael. He can marry either one of the two, and he can do chalitza to either one of the two. Why is the Braisa suggesting? Why is the Braisa saying chalitza should be done to one and yibim is done to the other? Why? He can marry either one of the two. Must be psula lei, psula psula lei, ukshera lechala oilam is the bachas gairus. It takes out the word la'alma. Umayniu, who is kapasul to him and kasher to the whole world, right? Must be That is, his brother took back the grusha and had a co-wife, and he died. He can't do yibum because it wasn't fit for the brother, meaning the brother was usher to the, it was usher to the brother. And since it was usher to the brother, even though this is not something that should ban the yavam, because he's not restricted, it's not drushasai, but that's what the Torah said, tumah, right? The Torah did use the word tumah, and therefore we don't allow yibum to the mouth to drushasai. Vashmina davagav duchsiv batumah terasik shera, duchsiv hi tayeva. We dash and he means only her. These sharchai vilavim. If you're going to say that it's a kain gadol who can't be miyab and amana, one was puzzle, right? Well, by amana both would be puzzle, really. But grusha l'kain hedjet, right? One was a grusha and the yavam is a kain. So he should be miyabim, the one that's not a grusha. And if he does chalitza, he can do it to the grusha. So my rasa lashmina, and it's simple. Every chai v'lavim, it's that way. That you do chalitza to the chai v'lavim, and you do yibam to the non-chai v'lavim. What would the b'raisa be teaching us? There has to be a chiddush in this b'raisa. And the chiddush in this b'raisa must be a kind of chai v'lavim that you would think infects the tzara, and the b'raisa is teaching me it doesn't infect the tzara. Because if it would be a different chai v'lavim, let's say the yavam is a kayin, and one of the two women falling is a grusha, and the Mishnah would be telling us that you can't do yibam to the grusha, you have to do yibam to the other one, and chalitza can be done to the grusha, everybody knows that. Everybody knows the chai v'lavim, you do yibam to the one that's not a chai v'lavim, and you do chalitza to anybody. Why would the b'raisa have to tell it to me? We know that from a Mishnah already. There's no reason for this Braisa or this Mishnah, right? There's no reason for it. Must be there's a Chiddush here. I would think differently, and the Braisa is informing me, don't think differently. That means it's a kind of Chai V'lavim that I would have a Havamina infect the co-wife, and that would be according to Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur by Machzir Grushasai. Since the Torah said the word Tuma, so there's a reason to believe that we shouldn't be able to do Yibum to the co-wife as well, more than any other Chai V'lavim, because every other Chai V'lavim doesn't infect the Tzara. The Torah never uses the word Tuma by any other Chai V'lavim, only by Machzir Grushasai. So the Torah is telling me that might be an infection. Comes along he and says, no infection, which is proving the Shaila, which was the second version of the Shaila. According to Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, does the Tzara get infected or not? That was the Shaila. And for the Gemara now. Like, the Olam Shera Shera La'alma B'sula B'sula Li'alma. We're not talking about people puzzle to him. He's a Yisrael, and one is a Grusha, and one is a non-Grusha, and it really has no impact on him. He can marry either of the two, or do Chalitza to either of the two. So, what is the Braisa telling me? The garment given to the Dei Chazia by Nafkele Mina. And if you're asking if it's fit for him, so why should it make a difference who he does Yibam or Chalitza to? The answer is, the Shumder of Yosef. The Amr of Yosef, Kan Shona Rebbe, the Yishbech Adem Reid Moiroi, Vacherim Tzrichim Lahem. Rebbe said, a Yisayit over here, don't spill out your water from your pit when others need it. Meaning, don't hurt others because you don't need it. Let me explain. Here two women fall for Yisrael the Yibum. One is a widow, her brother, the husband died, and one happens to be a previous divorcee. That previous divorcee can't marry a Kayan. Now he's a Yisrael. He can marry her. He decides to do Chalitza. Now if he does Chalitza to the one that's just a widow, he's making her Asa to a Kayan. So he's removing her from the market from a Kayan. For no reason. He could give chalitza to the grusha, and he wouldn't be hurting her status vis-a-vis anybody. By giving chalitza to the ksheira, he is hurting her to kahuna. She no longer can marry a kayan. Right? So the b'raisa is telling you, listen, you have a choice. You can do chalitza to one that you're gonna hurt somebody else through this chalitza. You're gonna make her ineligible for kahuna. Or you can do chalitza to one that's ineligible to kahuna as well. So the Braisa is saying, listen, Yibum, you can do to any one of them. Chalitza, only do the Psula. So the Braisa is saying like this, Chalitz, Chalitz the Psula. Pick the Psula. Don't do Chalitza to the Kshera. Why make her Pasul Lakuna? Why hurt her and hurt the kayin who might want to marry her. If I miyabim, you can be miyabim either one of the two, because to you, she's not puzzle. To you, they're both kosher. So you can be miyabim either one of the two. So this is the yisai. Do not spill out your water that you don't need, but will hurt others. Others can use it. Don't make her into a chalutza if you don't have to. If you have an option not to make her, listen, when a regular brother dies, when Reuven dies and he leaves two wives, one of them, and if he wants to give chalitza, one of them is going to become puzzle to kuna. But what are you supposed to do? He doesn't want to be miyabim, or he has to give chalitza. But here he has a way of giving chalitza without impacting the woman to become usher to more men. So the Brice is saying, don't throw away water that others can use. Don't make this woman ineligible to kahuna when others can, when if you can make it a different way and not make her ineligible to kahuna. Rashi. Sulalal Malakuna, Kanshana Rebbe Mishnah, it's a Mishnah. The Tani Chailut Subsula. The Madnu Rebbe is teaching us. I was mistaken, I said it's a Brice, it's a Mishnah. The Yishbek Adam made by Roy Avbishain Tarakhlan. Person should not pour out the water of his pit, even though he doesn't need it. The Acherim Trichim have others need it. Kigun Hacha. Mikibun the Yahoo Lachloitz, the Psula. He could do chalitza to the psula, but he pater hakshera. And that would absolve the kshera. The Yachlitz the kshera, the Yifsalena Lakuna. Don't do chalitza to the kshera and make a pasul to kuna. Rather, Rav Yosef beperik achaylot alad haMishnah. Rav Yosef is in the fourth perik, written on this Mishnah. So again, we haven't proven the shaila. The shaila is the second shaila, the one we're working with. According to Rav Yosef ben Kippur, can you do yibum to the tzara? We thought that psula meant Masig Rishasai. The answer was no, psula meant a regular pasul kuna, and that the Mishnah is teaching us, don't make a woman ineligible for kahuna if you can avoid it. Zakti Gemar Viter, Tashima. Hamagzir Girushasai Mishanissus. A person who takes back a grusha after she got married. Meaning, he was over the Isra Magzir Girushasai. And then he died, and he left over two wives. Zakti Braisa, he the Tzarasa Chaletzas. Her and her Tzara get chalitza. Now at this point, doesn't make any sense. We don't give chalitza to two. He v'tzarasa salgadaitach? You think we give chalitza to two? Rashi, he v'chalotza tzarasa salgadaitach chalitza to tabayu lamali. Why would there be a need to give chalitza to two women? There's no need to give chalitza to two women. Why would you give chalitza to two women? Zokta Gemara, Elohi, Elayma Ayhi Aitzarasa. Fix the Braisa. The Braisa is saying, either her or her Tzara. Give Chalitza to either her or her Tzara. But it says clearly, you give Chalitza to her or her Tzara. Mashma, no Yibum. Which is proving the Shaila that the Tzarasa does get infected. She does get infected. Right, she does get infected. So that proves the Shaila that we do say that it infects the Tzara. And for the Gemara, no. Didn't you have to fix the Braisa? Again, our rule is, a Braisa that doesn't have to be touched, we don't touch it. A Braisa that has to be corrected, that means the transmission of the Braisa had something missing. Once it has something missing, it allows us to fix it different ways as well. So had this Braisa said the word he aitzarasa, we would have had a good proof. But the Braisa did not say he aitzarasa. It said he vitzarasa, right? And we had to fix it that it's not both, it's either one. That means we said that the transmission of the words of the Braisa was missing something. Once you have that the transmission of the words of the Braisa was missing something, so we can fix it the following way. Tritzachi, he chalatzis, tzarasa, she gets chalitza. If you do it chalitza, the tzara, either chalitza or yibum. That's what it's saying. So it's not he, I tzarasa chalitzas. It's he chalitzas, and tzarasa, you have a choice of doing both. Meaning you can't prove from this shayla, from this braisa, anything about infection of tzara. Because even though the Braisa says Tzarasa Chaletzis, but we had to fix the Braisa. And once we had to fix the Braisa, we fixed it to say that Tzarasa can get Yibum as well. Rashi? No Rashi. Fine. Okay, so this is the end of this discussion of the two Shailas, either according to the Rabbanon Or, according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, we had two shilas, and at the end of the day, we haven't proven any of the shilas, and we're leaving it as is. The way we're fixing the braisa, we're saying you can do chalitza to the matzah grusha, right? And to the tzara, chalitza or yibum. Didn't we just say that you shouldn't do chalitza to the tzara? Because why make her pasul lakuna? Why make her pasul to kahuna? And here we're saying you have an option of doing chalitza or yibum to the tzara. We should say no. Don't do chalitza to the tzara. You're making her pasul lakuna. So the Ritva answers that the Bryce is not trying to tell me what to do. The Bryce is saying she could legally have chalitza or yibum. The Bryce wasn't interested in recommendations. The Mishnah before was recommending. Here the Bryce is telling me the Mamzer Grushasai can only have chalitza and needs chalitza. The Tzara is eligible for yibum or chalitza. What's recommended is not the discussion of this Bryce. It's not discussing how we're recommending. It's just discussing what this woman is eligible for. She is eligible for yibum or chalitza. True that Enochinami doing chalitza would hurt her, but it's not interested now in recommendations. It's interested now in eligibility. That's how the Ritva answers the Braisa. Correct. Right.
Well, what do you mean that the Yibum is stronger, right?
I mean,
you have a lady to the brother, right?
Well, it's Machlokes Tanoim, whether we recommend Yibum. I'm not getting it.
I'm just trying to say, if I don't want to miyabim her, I don't really want to miyabim her, but you know what, I shouldn't do chalitza because I am...
No, don't do chalitza to her. Hold a second. A regular guy dies and leaves two wives that are both kashrut to kahuna, and the brother doesn't feel like doing yibum, he's going to do chalitza to one of them, right? And one of them is going to become pasul tekuna, but what is he supposed to do? He doesn't want to marry this woman.
Right.
So, but here he has...
What's the question here?
But here he has a choice. He can do chalitza to the one that's pasul tekuna anyway. Here he has an option that he doesn't have to hurt anybody. In a regular case, two women fall to yibum chalitza. No matter who he does chalitza to, he's going to ask her a tekuna. But what is he supposed to do? He doesn't want to do yibum. He doesn't want to be married to her. He doesn't want to be married to her. Can't force a guy to marry a woman, he doesn't want to be married to her. So we say, do chalitza to whoever you want, and that lady is going to become pasul lakuna. Those are the consequences. Can't help her. Here, you have two women. One is pasul lakuna already anyway. So we advise you, why ask her the other one to kahuna? You're not marrying any of them. You're giving chalitza. You might as well not do it at the expense of making her pasul lakuna, if you can avoid it. Why throw away the water when somebody else can use it? Why make her pasul lakuna when she can remain kashrut lakuna? That's all it's saying. It's a recommendation.
Yeah. And what's the answer?
There's no answer. That's the way it is, Taka. You're right. That's what we recommend. Again, the Bryce said, yeah, yes, because the Bryce said you can do her or her tzara, and for her tzara you can do either chalitza or yibum, and for her you can do chalitza. So I asked, why would the Bryce say you can do chalitza or yibum? We don't want chalitza for her tzara, because it's going to make her pasul lakuna. So the Ritva answered, remember, one is a, again, there's a mamzer grushasai and a tzara. And the Bryce is saying you can do chalitza to the mamzer grushasai, or you can do chalitza or yibum to the tzara. Correct? That's how we answer the Braisa. Hichat lets us, Sarasa Eichel lets us I miss Yabemis. Correct?
Am I doing it on both girls?
No, one. You have a choice. You can do Chalitza to the Mavzik or Shasai, or Chalitza or Yibum to the Tzara. That's what we're saying.
Right.
So the kasha is, we don't want you doing Chalitza to the other one, because you would be answering her to Kahuna. The Braisa should say, Hichai Letzis, Tzarasa, you can do Yibum to. Don't suggest Chalitza to the Tzara. Why make her answer Lakuna? Right? When the Mazu Grusha says you're ready, Asur Lakuna. Why don't you, like we said before? So the answer is, the Bryce here is not suggesting what to do. The Bryce is saying what legally she's available for. You could do Chalitza to the Mazu Grusha side. You could either do Chalitza or Yibum to the Tzara. We're not suggesting it. We're saying her eligibility. She's eligible for Yibum or Chalitza. Now, if you're a nice guy, you won't do Chalitza. You'll do Chalitza to the other one. If you're not a nice guy, you won't care. The Bryce here is not suggesting. The Bryce is saying what she's eligible for. She's eligible for Chalitza or Yibum. Okay. Dr. Gemara Bait. Yes.
All I'm saying is that if we don't want the problem to happen, just say give Chalitza to the first girl.
You're right.
I'm the second.
That's if we're recommending. But the bride here is not recommending. It's saying what is legally allowed. There's legality, and then there's recommendation.
Okay.
Amar Abchiyah Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Amar Abchiyah Barabba. Rabbi Yechon and Boyi. Rabbi Yechon had the following shayla. Now, I want to explain the background of this Gemara, the way the Rishayim explained it. We're going in the Shita of the Chachamim, that Achrei Ashehu Tama is going on Saita. And Amachzik Rishasai, there is no Tama. And we're assuming, not like the Gemara Shaila before, that maybe there's an aspect of Tuma. There is no aspect of Tuma by Magzik Rishasai, period. That's what we're saying. We're saying that there's no aspect of Tuma by Magzik Rishasai. That means what we had as a Shaila before, the Gemara is now assuming, Rishayim must speak out, that according to the Chachamim, there is no Tuma at Magzik Rishasai at all. We don't say a mikro yaitzim midei pshutai, and there's a little bit of tumah by Magzik Rishasai. No. We're saying that according to the Chachamim, not Rabbi Yaitzim Ben Kippur, but according to the Chachamim, there is no aspect of tumah by Magzik Rishasai. And yet, Rabbi Yechonin had the following shayla. And let me explain what his shayla is based on. He asked, the Gemara is going to explain it, HaMagzik Rishasai Mishinissus. He violates Magzik Rishasai. Tzarasa mahu. What is the status of her tzara? Can you do yibum or not? Now, he didn't explain his shayla. And it's not because of tumah, because he holds there is no aspect of tumah. So then why should it be a shayla? Why should you not be able to do yibum? Amalei Rabami. Sir Rabami said, "Tibay lach higufa. Why can't you do yibum to the magzik rishasai? She's not prohibited to the brother. Reuven did an Aveira. He married his Grusha. Reuven died. This woman is not prohibited to Shimon. She's not his Grusha. So why are you asking me if you can do Yibum to her Tzara? Why don't you ask me, why don't you ask me, Rav Ami said to Rabbi Yechanan, why don't you ask, can a brother be Miyabim the Grusha herself, the Magzik Grushasai? You don't seem to have a shayla about that. Why not? Where does it say that you can't be miyabim the magzik rishasai? Where does it say that? She is not ushered to the brother. She was ushered to Reuven. She's not ushered to Shimon. Shimon is not prohibited from marrying her because it's Reuven's grusha. Where do you see? Why is your shayla whether you can be miyabim the tzara? Why aren't you asking, can you be miyabim the magzik rishasai herself? Zakti Gemara, he goofed like a mibayli. So Rabbi Yechonin said that I didn't have a shayla. Damina kavachaymer, because I can ban yibum based on a logical kavachaymer. B'mutter la nesra, b'asalot la koshkein, her husband, who she's mutter to, right? She was married to him legally once upon a time. She became prohibited because it's Mausu Grushasai. His brother, who is an Erva, it's his brother's wife, right? We have to find a heter. So you want to tell me that the brother should have allowances that the living brother didn't have? Meaning, to explain it more simply, the living brother is taking over the dead brother's marriage, which wasn't legal. So we want him to take over an illegal marriage? The husband couldn't live with her. We want the brother, who is basically an erva, that we're allowing to do the mitzvah of Yibum, that he steps into his brother's shoes. So you want to allow him to step into an illegal marriage of his brother? That logic tells me we can't have Yibum. You can't have Yibum to an illegal marriage because he's stepping in to take over an illegal marriage. How could you step into that? So the Kal v'chomer teaches me no Yibum. So for sure, we wouldn't allow Yibum for the Magzu Grushasai. That's for sure. The question is, Kikim Eboyele Tirasa. My. Mi Alim Kal v'chomer L'mitzi Tzara. Is this Kal v'chomer strong enough to say that since there's no Yibum by the Magzu Grushasai, because of the Kal v'chomer, therefore there's no Yibum by the Tzara either, right? Is because do we say that, listen, he can't be Miyabim this woman, so he shouldn't be able to be Miyabim her Tzara as well, because she's a Tzara of someone who logically is not allowed to have Yibum? Or maybe not. Maybe the Kal v'chomer is enough to ban the Magzu Grushasai, but it doesn't affect the Tzara. Lemaisa, the Tzara wasn't an illegal marriage. So again, biblically speaking, from Psukim, we don't see any reason that he shouldn't be able to be Miyadim the Magzu Grushasai. Logic tells us we can't have a brother assuming a marriage that his brother wasn't allowed to have, an illegal marriage of his brother. So it tells me no Yibum. There is Chalitza, but no Yibum. Can that logic extend to Aser the Tzara as well or not? That's the Gemara Shaila.
Rabbi,
yes.
The Kal v'chomer here is a little slippery to me. The brother was not intrinsically an erva. He only became an erva once his brother, after the younger brother was born, then he became an erva by dint of his brother's marriage to this lady.
Right.
Now there's an issue with his brother's marriage to this lady. So I don't understand why you just jump to say, well, he was already an erva. He was only an erva when his brother married this lady, but he wasn't born an erva vis-a-vis his brother's wife. It's something that became, it developed, it was created just by dint of the marriage of his brother. So it's not like it's his sister or anything like that. When he was born, she was forbidden to
have. Okay, but again, you're right. But again, the concept of Yibum is that the Torah said, even though this is normally an erva, marrying your brother's wife, right? Marrying one's brother's wife is normally an erva, but the Torah made it a mitzvah. We're saying logically that the Torah wouldn't want you to assume your brother's role when he wasn't allowed to be married to her. Meaning, you're assuming brother number two is taking over brother number one's quote-unquote life. He takes his wife, he takes his money, he's assuming his status, right? So here he is, assuming that we were thinking the mitzvah of Yibum to a woman that the deceased brother was not allowed to be married to. That means he's taking over an illegal marriage. So there's a Kal v'chomer that says, we don't want people stepping in to do something that was illegal for the living brother, so why in the world would we want the deceased brother to step in and take it over when it was illegal to begin with? It's a heter to marry a brother's wife. To marry a brother's wife that the brother wasn't allowed to be married to is like, why should we allow that? It's like, she wasn't even allowed to be married to her legal husband, so to speak. So we should let her marry her brother-in-law? That's the Kal v'chomer. It's interesting that we only use this Kal v'chomer for Yibum. However, the Gemara does not seem to think that the Kal Vachomer should say, therefore there's no mitzvah chalitza. It's only to say, we shouldn't allow him to marry her, but he still has to give her chalitza. It's a very big kiddush, because usually chalitza and yibum go hand in hand, but it's biblical. This Kal Vachomer is biblical. It's saying, he can't marry her, because it doesn't make logical sense that we should be able to let him take over a marriage that was illegal to begin with. He's a brother, he's marrying his brother's wife, it's something that the Torah prescribed, which really the Torah, it's against the Torah's wishes of Erev, but here the Torah made it a mitzvah, and he's doing it to an illegal marriage. She wasn't allowed to be married to her husband, she should marry her brother-in-law? That's the logic is. And the question is, do we say, therefore her tzara also, or it only limits it to her? That's the Gemara Shaila. Zakt Rashi. Tarasa Maru Leibim. B'mutala. Baila. What's the Bach say? K'gam Baila Zeh Shemes. Nesra Tchila G'shenissus. L'sheini V'chazer Rishon V'chzira Be'isser. Right? When he took her back, he was doing an illegal marriage. U'lemach Hermes. B'asala K'gam Yivama Le'koshke. Mi Olam Kal V'chaymer. Hai Kal V'chaymer D'amr B'mutala Nesra. Does it affect Tzara or not? That is the first version of the Shaila. So again, the first version of the Shaila assumes that there's no Tumah Karayas, nothing to do with that. A person dies and he leaves over two women, and one is a Mahzer Grushasai and one is a Tzara. There's no Pasik that tells me any ban. And the brother, really, is not prohibited to this woman. It's not his Grusha. It's not his machzir grushasai, but logic tells me that the brother can't do yibum, because logic says, how can he assume a marriage that was illegal? His brother wasn't allowed to be married. He should take over that illegal marriage? And the question is, how about the tzara? That's version number one. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, somebody have a question?
Yeah, quick question.
Yeah.
Does it matter when the Tzara got married to him, like before this Machzer or after?
No, because we look at the moment of death.
Okay, so it doesn't matter when they got married. Like, it was from the previous, like right before
makes
the
conversion. Makes no difference.
Okay, that means.
Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Masni Hachi. He had the Shaila differently. I'm Rav Chiya Bar Abba, boy Rav Yechanim. Hamagzir Grushasai Mishinistis Mahu. Can he do Yibum? According to the second version, the question is, can you do Yibum to the Magzir Grushasai? Meaning, it's not illegal to him. So, Amalei Adam Yibit Tabay Lach Tzarasa. Why didn't you ask, can you do Yibum to the Tzara also? Why are you only asking about the Magzir Grushasai? Why don't you ask to the Tzara? So according to this version, he told them, Tarasa Larkim Ibayali. I have no shaila about the Tzara. The Yalom Kavachimer the Mitchi Tzara. The Kavachimer wouldn't push away the Tzara. Alakikim Ibayali, he gufa. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. It's an illegal marriage. Do we use logic to remove the mitzvah of Yibum? Do we say, logically, we can't let this guy marry this woman that his their husband was illegal? Or do we say, listen, there's a mitzvah of Yibum, and it's not illegal to him. So what if it was illegal to the first husband? Is the Kal V'chomer enough to take away the mitzvah of Yibum, or not? So going to the second version, the Shaila is not about the Tzara. The Shaila is about the woman herself. According to the first version, Kal V'chomer removes the mitzvah of Yibum from the Tzara, from the woman. Because the Kal V'chomer says, it doesn't make sense. Logical sense. We should allow a brother to assume a deceased brother illegal marriage. If she couldn't be married to her husband, she should be married to his brother? That's what the first Lashon assumes. Question was, since she can't marry her, how about her Tzara? Because we find that ladies infect their Tzaras. Over here there's no Tumah. It's just a question. That logic of not assuming his brother's illegal marriage, does it extend to the Tzara? That's the first version. Second version says, of course it doesn't affect the Tzara. Why should it? She's not illegal. The question is about the woman herself. We're using logic to remove the mitzvah of Yibum. Should we do that? Should we use our logic and say that it doesn't make sense for a living brother to assume his deceased brother's living marriage, illegal marriage? Maybe yes. Maybe the Torah said as long as it's not illegal to the brother, he could assume it. Right? So, that's the Shaila. Do we allow Yibum to the Mazdi Grushasai? That's the question according to the second version. So now, we're going to try to prove both Shailas. Both the Avama, the Mazdi Grushasai herself, and her Tzara. Now according to one version, the Shaila was only the Tzara. According to the other version, the Shaila was only Mazdi Grushasai. We're going to be talking about both of them, and trying to prove either one of the two. Amalei, so he said to him, Tanisua. And we're bringing that same Mishnah that we had before. The same way we learned before, the same Havamina we had before. One woman is Kasha and one woman is Pasul. If he wants to do Chalitza, do it to the Psula. If you want to do Yibum, do it to the Kshera. Now, at this point, we're not learning like we learned at the end before, that it was a suggestion. We thought it's required. And the question is, my Kshera, my Psula. Who is she kasha for and who is she pasul for? Eli mekshera kshera la'alma. Psula psula le'alma. If you're going to tell me kshera means to everybody and psula means to everybody, even though they chazia might not kalamina. Meaning if you tell me she's a grusha for a kayan, and that's the question, so why shouldn't he do chalitza or yibum to everyone he wants? He's mutter to both, he's Yisrael. Must be it's a psul that was a pasul to the husband, not to anybody else. That was a mazdi grushasai. And what does the bright Mishnah say? Yibum can be done to the tzara, and chalitza is to the mazdi grushasai. That means it's proving our shayla. Tani, it might be yabim yabim l'ksheira, which means the kavachayver does not affect the tzara. Right, and it does affect the mazdi grushasai. It says you can miyabim everybody and the mazdi grushasai, and you do chalitza even to the mazdi grushasai. That means herself she becomes usher because of the kal v'chaymer, and her tzara is not affected by the kal v'chaymer. It proves both shailas. The gemara like sheri la'alma psula la'alma. It's not talking about mazdi grushasai. It's talking about a regular grusha. So why shouldn't he be able to do chalitza to whoever he wants and yibum to whoever he wants? Gamet even the day chazim by nafkal emina, if it's fit for him, so why do we care? Shemdu Reb Yosef, Tam Reb Yosef, Kan Shana Rebbe, La'ish bechad the may by Reb Achayim tzichem lahem. Don't waste your water when others need it. Meaning the exact same shakavatari as before. We thought it was mazdi grushasai. If it's mazdi grushasai, then the Bryce is clearly telling me that the tzar is mutter. And that the Mazdi Grushasai herself cannot have Yibum? The answer is it's not Mazdi Grushasai. It's a regular Yisrael. His brother died, left over one woman who's a widow, one woman who previously was divorced, who's asr to Kahuna, not asr to the Yavim at all. And the suggestion is don't asr a woman to Kahuna if you don't have to. Rashi, Amalei Tanisua, Atavayu Lishni Mahadar. Rashi says this is going on both Lashaynas. The Tani Achas Ksheira V'Achas Psula. Al-Mahi Asura. That means the Mavzi Gurushasai, according to the Havamina, is Aser. The Tsarasa Muteras. We would be proving both Shailas. Shaila number one was about Tsarasa. It says clearly Tsarasa's Muteras. Shaila number two was about herself. It says she should get Chalitza. In the Havamina, that it's talking about Mavzi Gurushasai. The Gemara's answer is, it's not talking about Mavzi Gurushasai. It's talking about a regular person who died, who had two wives, one was an Amana now, and one was a Grusha beforehand. And the Yavam is not a Kayan, there are no restrictions, there's no illegalities, perfectly legal marriages. And we're suggesting, why make a woman Pasul Lakuna if you don't have to? If you don't have to make a woman Pasul Lakuna, why do that? So the Mishnah is suggesting, if you're going to do Yibum, you can do it to any one of the two. If you do chalitza, do it to the psula. Because why do chalitza to the ksheira and make her pasul lakuna? Now, you could do yibum to any of the two. So even though the Mishnah says miyabim, miyabim l'ksheira, means you can be miyabim also l'ksheira. Chalitza is suggested that you only do it to the psula. Why would you want to hurt a woman's chances of marrying a kaya? Zakhtig ma'avaita. Tashima, we're going to try to prove the Shaila from the next Brisa that we had brought earlier. Hamagzu Grushasa Mishinissus. Somebody brings back his Grusha and then he dies. He b'tzarasa chaletzis. Either her and her tzara get chalitza. And we ask the same question. He betzarasas agadaitach. He has to give chalitza to both. Ela ayhi aitzarasa. Either her or her tzara. So it's saying clearly. Saying clearly. That he can only do chalitza. That means no yibum to her and no yibum to her tzara. Because it says, he aitzarasa chalatzas. It does not allow for an option of yibum. Is a raya to both shilas of Rabbi Yochanan, that not only does the Kal v'chomer take away the mitzvah of yibum from her, but the Kal v'chomer also takes away the mitzvah of yibum from her tzara. And for the Gemara v'lav terutzukim atratzdala, didn't you have to correct the braisa? Teritzachi, once you add words to the braisa, I can add it the following way. He chalatzas, and that would prove one of the shaylas, because we're not saying she can have yibum, because the bride says that's what our correction does not allow yibum for her. So enochinami. At the end of the day, we have proven one half, one shayla. Can the machzik rishasa herself have yibum? No, because the bride says that he chalatzas. Tarasa, we added the word aichaletzas aimisyavemis. So it proves one shaila, it doesn't prove the other. So we had two sets of shailas. One was based on psukim, and we didn't end up proving anything. And one was based on the logic of Kal v'chomer. And the question was, does the Kal v'chomer take away the mitzvah of yibum, or it doesn't? And the end of the day was that it takes away the mitzvah of yibum from the illegal marriage, the woman herself, but doesn't affect the tzara in the least. Zakti Gemara, new sugya. End of the sugya of Machzik Rishasai. And now we move on to a totally new sugya, which we will introduce today. And Amir Hashem continue on Monday. Amar Mar Ukva Amar Shmuel. Tzaras Mema'enes Asura. Okay? The case of Tzaras Mema'enes is as follows. Reuven died, left over two wives. One was a G'dayla, a biblical marriage, and one was a K'tana, a rabbinic marriage. Right. So one is married to him biblically, and one is married to him rabbinically. The girl married rabbinically did miyun after her husband died. She did miyun after her husband died. Right, so here is a girl that did miyun after her husband died. Now, zokt Shmuel, and this needs a lot of explanation, zokt Shmuel that the tzara, the gdaila, is aser to yibum for anybody. Now, there is no relatives here. There's no erva. Reuven was married to two women. One was a ketana, rabbinic marriage, and one was a biblical marriage. And both fell to Shimon. What Shimon should do is do yibum to the biblical marriage. That's his brother's wife. The rabbinic marriage went, and she said, I am out. And she basically has annulled the original marriage to her original husband. So we don't let Reuven do yibum to any of these two wives. And the question is, why not? Why not? One is a regular wife. There's no erva. There's no tzaras erva. Nobody did anything wrong here. There's no nothing. There's no illegalities here. So why should this be prohibited? So this is what we're going to leave in Mezuzah for Monday, when we will discuss the sugya of Tzaras Mamanas. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.